Tracy Chapman, Fast Car there. Michael Green and I were talking about that earlier before the traffic. It all is about the Peter Hartlob Chronicle pop culture writer article today. Mike just told me they talked to Peter, and by the way, Peter's going to be on with us again in the 4 o'clock hour, but apparently the article won't be in the actual paper, newspaper, for a week or two, but it is online. And it's about Guy Fieri, and the only two people Peter interviewed were me and DeWald. Pretty good article. It's called In Defense of the Mayor of Flavortown. Because he's gotten so much grief over the years, Guido has, and I talked to him today, and he's filming Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives, as they refer to it, Triple D, and he'll be back with us next week. But a cool article by Peter. We'll talk to Peter about that and other stuff. He's the Chronicle pop culture writer. I think I said that already. All right, it is the Theater Thursday, and see, we have the chair of the Board of Supervisors, Grant Cohn, talking sports, Mark Klass from the Klass Kids Foundation, culinary Commodore Clark Wolf will be in with Judy Groverman Walker, talking about the California Artisan Cheese Fest. And for the first time, I think in the 11 years of this show, we have a guy with laryngitis talking on the radio. Go ahead, let's hear it.
I'm going to do my best.
Well, he doesn't have your mic on, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Better. That'll help. Am I on now?
There you are.
Thank you.
Mike's cranking it up all the way so everyone can hear you. Who gets laryngitis without a cold or anything?
Me, apparently.
And they got you on steroids?
Steroids.
He's going to hit 75 home runs this year. Trust me. All right. It's Harry Duke Theater Thursday. I'll let you introduce our guests.
All right. If you're a reader of The Bohemian, and I hope you are, you might have noticed a letter to the editor in the last couple of weeks from a theater patron complaining about the dark nature of theater at a West County company. And the author said, if you want to go see a show that's kind of life-affirming, then go see what's playing at Left Edge Theater. Well, that show is closed, and the show that's running now, I don't think that letter writer would find very amusing. It's a fascinating show. It's called The Nether. It's running now at Left Edge Theater, and joining us to talk about it are two of the actors from the show. We've got Leigh LaRosa and Chris Schlemp with us. Welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, let's start with what the show is about. It's called The Nether. It's about 6 or 7 years old, if I remember correctly, written by a playwright by the name of Jennifer Haley. It was done in San Francisco about 5 years ago. This is the first time it's been done in the Bay Area since then, I believe. Let's talk about what it's about.
Okay. Well, The Nether takes place in a hypothetical but perhaps not too distant future in which most of the population spend most of their time online in what amounts to virtual reality realms. That's what they're called. It's a hypothetical future version of the internet. And so if most people spend their time in these realms, then questions naturally emerge. What happens when people want to basically cross over and spend all of their time online? Or, as is the case in our play, what if people commit morally reprehensible acts? Should they be held accountable in the real world for the things that they do online?
So what year does it take place? Is there a year?
Jennifer Haley, the playwright, has identified it as taking place soon. Mm-hmm. So there's no year. It just says soon.
So it's post-internet.
It's post-internet. It's okay. Like the next phase of the internet.
Yeah, there are several lines in the play where they say what we used to call the internet, right, we now call the nether. Mm-hmm. All right, so the play opens with an interrogation. And Leigh, you are playing the character doing the interrogating. Tell us what's going on in the opening scene.
So the opening scene is basically Detective Morse, whom I play. She has gathered some allegations against Mr. Sims, who is played by Chris. And I am attempting to prosecute him throughout the series of the scenes that you see me interrogating him in. So the first scene is kind of the establishing point, as I do have something on you, and I'm going to do something about it. So that's kind of where we see it, and it does beg the question of... you know, I see that you, all these things are going on in your realm, and you don't see it as a problem, but it is a problem, and also, it's her job, she calls herself an in-world representative, which is established in the first scene, to say that it is my job, my duty as detective to ensure that the Nether is still a place that people can go to university and have their families online, because that is a part of the world of our play, is that people are going to school in the Nether and there's families that are probably crossed over.
Now, is this rated R?
It should be.
Yeah.
What makes it so dark?
Well, that's what I was going to get to. Now, Chris, your character, one of the two characters you play is Sims, and that is the person that's being interviewed by Layla's character. Let's be forthright here and talk about the realm that Sims has created.
So Sims has created a simulation of the late Victorian era. He calls it the Hideaway. It's a place that has all of those Victorian details down to the dust on the Victrola and the mulch in the garden. But it is a place, the Hideaway is a place that is designed for people who have deviant tastes, both sexually and homicidally, particularly in light of how children get treated. And so that's, I think, the primary issue that that the detective has with this realm. It's basically a place to, as he says at one point in the play, a place for where a pedophile can blow off steam and not harm any actual children in the process, because all of the
that is dark.
I told you it was dark.
All of the users behind the child avatars, they're all adults.
Right. That's an important point.
It's an adult realm, mm-hmm. and not everybody understands that. But that's yeah. Jennifer Haley makes that very clear. It's not a play that is about condoning pedophilia. It's asking the question, what if you have someone who has that particular compulsion and has a certain amount of insight, what are you going to do with someone like that? Wouldn't you want them to perhaps create a place where they can quarantine themselves away from reality? You can see I've gotten pretty good at defending yeah. Sims's point of view, because playing a despicable character like this, You can't just play the despicable part. My job, and Argo, the director, helped me get through that. Of you've got to basically play him as honestly as you can from his point of view, and let the audience make their decisions.
It raises so many questions. I've seen the show twice, including this production, and I left the theater both times just thinking. What do I believe? What do I think about what's going on here? And this is the kind of play that forces you to deal with those issues. It's not for everybody, folks. It's without a doubt. The performance I attended, some folks left at intermission. It simply wasn't a subject matter that they wished to continue to engage in, which is why I've wanted to have a forthright discussion about the subject matter here. But it's more about than just that. And Layla, you and I were talking in the green room about the issues that you see it bringing up as well.
Yeah, I think just kind of going off of what Chris was saying, it does raise a bigger picture question, which is we have this increasing technological world that we're surviving in here now, and how does that affect us into our actual lives? Like, what is the, it's not going to get less. Technology is progressing furthermore. It's exponentially growing. So I think that's one thing it kind of brings up is what we allow in, like through images, through sensation, which is what the play talks about. Does it or does it not affect us? And what, I guess, kind of society do we want to build in a way as well? Mm-hmm. I think that's one kind of topic that it hits on. I think that also, if I were to go more from my character's perspective, Detective Morris, I would say that I think she kind of is brought up a lot to, lack of better use, I'm going to use the term daddy issues, because she does talk a lot about her father being a shade, and a shade in this reference means that this person has permanently crossed over into the Nether. So they're on a life support system, which is explained in the play. And she basically had seen her dad disintegrate via life support system, and kind of what that meant to her, and how that disconnection from her own father, from her own mother and father, due to the increase of this kind of crossover into the Nether.
Well, we see this in today's society with people's with their faces in phones and on their laptops and not engaging with each other. So the playwright here just takes that to the extreme.
Yeah.
In like, okay, this is where you are now, folks. Have you thought about where this might go? What kind of reaction have you guys gotten to this play so far?
The full range of reactions, like you said, from some people leaving at intermission to some people coming up, giving us hugs afterwards, saying like this is the most thought provoking piece of theater we've seen in the area in a long time. We get the complete range because this play doesn't pull any punches. It doesn't answer the questions for you.
One of the things you brought up in the green room was that there are really two issues at play here in the Nether, which is one is releasing your sexual tendencies, and the other one, which people don't seem to have as big a problem with, is what?
Well, is the homicidal tendencies. Yeah. Right? I mean, there's the way to create separation or to prevent emotional attachment in Papa's Hideaway is basically to attack the avatar of a child with an axe.